Three-time Wisconsin Sports Writer of the Year, Jason Wilde.
There aren't any Jasons 12 and under. That's a dead name.
Packers Hall of Famer, Mark Tauscher.
How many kids do you hear, hey, Marky, it might be almost to the point of Ruth.
Broadcasting live from the Everlight Solar Studio.
You love that name so much, you don't even go by it.
On 100.5 ESPN.
If you call me Mark, I like my name. I like my name a lot.
The ESPN Wisconsin app.
Wilde and Tosh.
And ESPN Madison on YouTube.
It's Wilde and Touch, isn't it?
This is Wilde and Tosh, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin.
Bulaga scheduled to appear, so we break down the Packers offensive line and other stuff. He's scheduled at 9:30 edition. The Steve the Homer True, so we can get into that. Never know what the Uncle Homer brings to our program. He's scheduled to appear at 10:30 edition. I saw an interesting video on social media last night of Jaden Reed. It's the only thing I saw on social media, though. I didn't see anything else, so I'll have to be caught up on any other things that might have gone viral yesterday. I wasn't on social media very much. Edition of Wilde and Tausch on 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee, 100.5 ESPN Madison, 1430 ESPN Beaver Dam, ESPNWisconsin.com, the ESPN app, your Alexa smart speaker, streaming live video, Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, and of course everything you need on the all-new, all-redesigned, all-free ESPN Wisconsin app, which you can find in both the Apple and Android app stores. I'm Jason Wilde in Green Bay. Jesse Nelson's in the Everlight Solar ESPN Madison studios. And so is the Packers Hall of Famer. It is Mark Tauscher. Tausch, good morning. How are you?
Hey, buddy. How are you?
I'm good.
That's good.
You want to get right into the Packers offensive line?
Let's get into Myles Garrett and Joe Flacco and whoever they have as their tailback. I'm glad you took a night off of social media. So did I. I took a night off. Seeing a little bit more than I probably wanted to, I took the rest of the night. I might take today off of social media, too. I think that's kind of where my head's at.
It's important to unplug.
You have to. Remember when a couple of years ago, that was my New Year's resolution, and you guys pouted about it, and I had to go back because it's kind of, that's where we get show topics and different ideas.
Right.
I think I might do that.
Yeah. Well, we have plenty of show topics. So you didn't need social media last night.
I didn't.
Let's start with Jaden Reed, who, by the way, I would like to, again, thank everyone, especially the people who doubted me on my reporting about the Jones fracture, because not only did he undergo collarbone surgery to fix that injury that he suffered on Thursday night against the Commanders, but he also got his foot fixed, which he confirmed on his Twitter account, not to be confused with him somewhat still being under anesthesia and appearing on Instagram Live. And I don't know about you, but that to me was the most interesting thing I saw on social media before I unplugged yesterday.
Yeah, I did too. That was for me too. Jesse, how about you? I don't know. Did you, anything that you saw that you thought was maybe more interesting?
I had a pretty active night on social media last night. Yeah.
Really?
What'd you do?
Barry Alvarez show?
So I was very fortunate at the last minute yesterday. I was able to come into possession of two tickets to the Brewers game.
Oh, you did?
Last night. Yeah. Oh.
You offered me one of them.
And I asked Jason.
Boy, that would have been something.
I asked my guy Jason, do you want to go? He said no. He was busy. I couldn't believe
sure.
it.
Sure.
So then I asked Tier 1 Tyler. He couldn't go because it was a school
night.
Nice
of you to ask him, though, after yep. snubbing him for your little football party.
I asked Tier 1 Dave, Tier 1 John, Up North Joe. No one could go with me. And I said, you know what? I'm going to make another call here. And I called Usher George. And I said, Usher George, I know it's been a few years since you've been back at the stadium. You want to go back to the old stomping grounds with me tonight? We don't have to stay for the whole game. It's a beautiful night. They might win the World Series this year. Don't you want to be there for one if they win the
Mike
World
Trout's
Series?
There.
Trout's yep. going for his 400th dinger, which he almost hit to us last night. Yep. And I convinced Usher George, my dad, to go to the game with me last night. So we had a great time. And he was a bigger celebrity than, I'm guessing, a number of other people who may have been there. Meeting some of his old friends, some of the old season ticket holders. Went out to the old section. His old boss is still there. Like, it was a good time.
That's
he was
fun.
Making the rounds, seeing everybody last
That's fun.
Night.
Peralta pitched great.
Great game. Yelich hit a dinger.
Yeah, it was a fun game to watch.
Magic numbers down to 7.
To win the division.
To win the division.
Okay.
Yeah. We walk in last night and almost slipped my mind.
What?
Oh, there were a bunch of ceremonial first pitches going on before the game. And usually I'm, getting a Coors Light or some nachos and not really paying too much attention.
Paying homage to Bob Uecker.
But I saw that there was this kid who had won an art contest. And he got to throw out one of the pitches. I'm like, oh, this one might be pretty good. And he goes out to the mound and fires fastball.
He threw a great pitch.
A dart right into the cat. I'm like, ooh, that's a pretty
good
pitch.
How old would you say this kid was?
I'd say 16, 17-ish. He's like a, and I dapped him up. He threw a BB.
Yeah, that was a dart.
That's not easy to do from what I understand.
No, fastball. It is definitely not.
And then there was a season ticket holder who I think was flaunting that she was pregnant.
Yeah, she went in front of the mound,
and she almost got it there. Tossed a nice first
pitch.
Well.
Yeah,
and Wisconsin men's basketball head coach Greg Gard went out to the mound. And
was
tossed,
he there? I didn't see him.
It was hard to tell. He kind of looked like he was a tour champions golfer the way he was looking out there. It was hard to tell it was him, but he fired a nice little pitch into the mound or from the mound into home plate.
From he threw from the rubber.
He did. Yeah, he threw from the rubber.
And he threw a strike.
He did. Well, it was probably close. It was right on the edge, but there.
He was painting the corners.
He threw it well. Yeah,
I was caught in the the revelry of all those great ceremonial first pitches.
Gardo.
I almost forgot. Old number 65 in his custom Brewers jersey
started walking
out to the mound after all those
nice jerseys.
Who's number 65? Do they have a 65 on the 40-man roster?
Not anymore. He didn't make it after last night. He got cut. He definitely was cut.
He got DFA'd?
I think it was. If it was a tryout, it didn't go well.
Oh, boy. All right. Well,
So when do we check the tape? When do we do it?
You
here?
Can run the tape. So let me give you a little backstory. Let me throw you a little backstory.
Please do, because I just want people to know that I love my guy. And I was not being completely truthful, obviously. I was being sarcastic and facetious to start the show. I saw some of the reaction, and look, I'm not a fighter, but I do believe in kindness, and obviously the pitch did not go the way we had all hoped.
So,
but don't
yes.
be a jackwagon.
So there were a lot of funny responses that I saw, and I appreciated them. I did.
All-time responses.
And then there were some that I literally was looking at. I made the mistake, like, in the third inning.
I was worried about this.
And I looked at it, and I saw my kids see a couple things that were very rough. And that's when I just put my phone away for the rest of the night, and then, and hey, that's part of the deal. I told you yesterday. So as I was going into this, and it's, you know, how this ended up happening, I have a great partnership with UW Credit Union. They are great partners with the Milwaukee Brewers. We did a bunch of fun stuff before the game. We upgraded tickets. We handed out balls. We, you know, that video will be coming out. It was really fun. Like, it, some of the Brewer employees get to do this every game. UW Credit Union does a thing where they go up to the upper deck, the fourth level, and they bring fans. They give four tickets to upgrade your seat, and they put you in the lower bowl.
What a fun idea.
Yeah, it was, it's great, and they do it every game. I was, you know, I was able to do that, and then I, you know, kind of tooled around. Now, I had my jersey on, and actually Eleanor said, is it weird that you're wearing a jersey with your own name on it? And I said, yeah, maybe a little bit.
No, I love it.
But
I thought
so
it was
really – all of that, like I'm telling you, the night was – it was beautiful. Like Jesse said, a beautiful night. I was skeptical when asked to do the first pitch from the jump because I know kind of where I'm at. And I know that it was going to be, as I told you guys yesterday, it's a 50-50 shot I was going to get it there. I cannot kind of wind up like I would want to. With all that said, it was, yeah, I butchered it. I mean, I don't think there's any way I could sit here. And I was, what I thought about doing today was putting a sling around my arm.
That's exactly what I was
coming in with, like a neck brace and saying, oh, well, da 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 da. But I did see someone just Truman up, and I am Trumaning up. I failed. I failed, and I failed miserably. But I'll say this. Anybody can throw a lob pitch in. Most people can. Can you throw a skipped cricket pitch to the degree that I did? Because the way that ball went, tell me somebody that throws a better cricket pitch than what I threw last night. Yeah. And as I came out, after I threw it, I was, ugh. Old boy, whoever was catching, I didn't even know who was catching, comes out and said, that was the best one-hop pitch we've ever seen. That's what he told me. So you can be ordinary and, you know, lob one in, or you can shoot for the moon. And I went to throw it really hard. I saw when Greg Gard threw it hard and when Jesse's buddy, the artist, threw it really hard. I kind of put in my mind, I'm going from the mound and I'm letting it rip. I hope that it was going to obviously go over the home plate.
Right. It gets in the dirt,
but it did not in the, you know, Homer saying it's the worst throw ever. No, get out of here. It's not the worst. It's a bad throw. It's a bad throw. But if the ball gets to home plate, I've seen people where it doesn't even get past the grass. I got it to home plate on one skip, like an old stone thrower. And if you're playing cricket, it was great. Baseball sucked, cricket great. That's my half-optimistic look at this thing.
The greatest, based on the internet, the greatest cricketer of all time, the great Sir Don Bradman of Australia would have appreciated that
fantastic pitch. And I'm not saying this subconsciously got in my head, but I was talking to Greg for a while, and we're obviously good for, you know, Kirk Penny's on his staff. Kirk's, you know, that's a big game over there. It's a big sport. So I don't know if subconsciously I was an homage to Kirk. I have a bunch of different things. I said I butchered it. Jesse, don't give me that look. I butchered it. Yeah, I threw a bad ball. No doubt. But
this is Kirk Petty's fault.
I'm not blaming Kirk. I'm saying it's an homage.
Does not sound like Trumaning up to me.
I just said I butchered it. What else do you want me to say?
So not it's Kirk Petty's fault.
I didn't blame Kirk. I homaged it to Kirk. What are you talking about?
So if I may, the only and look, I was in I had multiple friends who were at the game who sent me their videos. They were really excited. I got a lot of messages from fans of the show. I did not get any mean-spirited anything. There were some maybe people that were not laughing with you, but laughing at you for sure.
And that's fair.
But the one thing that I had a few people, a couple of prominent basketball coaches, including Gardo, who wanted to make sure I didn't let you get off the hook on this, and I said, I don't need to pile on.
Just wait, Gardo did that? Gardo said that?
Gardo texted me.
Okay.
Brad Fisher at UW Oshkosh, yeah, the famed women's basketball coach there, one of the great coaches in our state. Look, everybody loves Tausch. Let's start there. So we were all rooting for you. And by the way, I could tell that you were nervous yesterday, and then the video that Jesse sent me, you're coming out to the mound and the video pans up to catch you on the Jumbotron.
Yep.
and you let out a very big
yeah.
breath. Yeah. So I knew that you were nervous. My only question is, and I understand you're a stubborn guy. That's part of your charm.
Big breath.
But we tried to tell you that the pitcher's mound creates a greater level of
look at that bounce though
discomfort
right in
or
the strike,
challenge
right yeah. in the strike no, zone on the hop.
It was right on the hop. Yeah, I think that's still called a ball.
No, it was definitely a ball. Yeah,
but I just don't. Was it because if Gardo throws from the edge of the pitcher's mound on the grass, are you still
matter.
Going on the mound?
I was going from the mound from the jump. Like it was going to happen, even though. I knew in my heart of hearts, and I obviously got inundated with texts, most of them pretty fun. One of the guys that I coach with said, I need a bullpen session. There's another one that I, because I don't throw BP anymore because I can't throw. So I have to throw from like, 30 or 40 feet with a net behind me. So I have not thrown from a full mound probably, 30 years is probably where. So did I go in arrogant? I did.
You didn't think to practice that part?
I did practice. I just
from a mound?
Yes, I told you.
You did practice.
I practiced on Monday a little bit. I told you. Did you not listen yesterday? I said it was 50-50.
Did you
good
throw
throws?
From
no,
a mound?
Yes, I threw from a mound, and I never unleashed. I would kind of do this with the lob, and I went into it. After I saw it, I decided to let it rip. I was not going to lob it.
Did you warm up last night?
No, there was no warming up. By the time we got down there, it was go. It was go time. As a matter of fact, I was talking to Gardo about it. Greg has done this, I think, 3 or 4 times, and last night was his best.
Yeah, he looked good.
Yeah, he did.
He looked great. All right, so you are stubborn. I appreciate you acknowledging that you were a little
arrogant.
I didn't
like Jesse saying I didn't Truman up. I am Trumaning up, but I also can acknowledge that if you're looking at this from a baseball standpoint, it sucked. I can't argue. But if you're looking at it from a cricket standpoint.
You're really committed to the cricket.
Well, look at the cricket pitch.
Yeah. So my next
question.
It hits
question, the wicket if you
my
throw
next
the
question,
pitch.
And then you can tell us about something that is great, like this great cricket pitch.
Yes.
Pella Windows and Doors of
See,
Wisconsin.
See, perspective. There. Isn't perspective key in life? Is it perspective key? Like, I could sit here and beat myself up about throwing a horrible first pitch, and I did. Or I can look at it and say, maybe I need to start playing cricket. Maybe this is the spark to get me into cricket.
You
I
are
doubt
listening
it, but maybe.
To Tausch's Cricket Minutes. There are some conspiracy theorists out there.
Okay.
Who are of the belief that you, being the 4D chess player that you are, tanked the first pitch on purpose.
Mm.
I know that you're a man of honesty and integrity, so please let everyone know that this was not an intentional cricket pitch. This is just how it played out.
I have of the belief that I will let people feel their feelings. That's what I'll say.
So you're not going to correct
I will say any- this. I knew going in it was a 50-50 shot. I knew that. And I, for a myriad of reasons, still wanted to go do it. And as I told you yesterday, I tried to give a prelude to this, that this could happen. And maybe did I talk myself into it? Maybe.
Yeah.
Or maybe it's just at this point in my life, I should probably check out of the first pitch game. Because I don't physically... physically, it's 50-50, and that's not good. Is that not good enough? Mm-hmm. I'm not giving any excuses. I knew going in it was 50-50.
Well, I just want to thank you for your service. I want to thank you for waving to the crowd on your way out to the mound.
Great wave.
I was as happy when I saw
that
wave.
You know what I just love is that everything, and this is one of the things that I think you as, if you want to say a public figure or whatnot, you're always going to be critiqued. Always. And especially with working with you. And I appreciate you saying thank you on the wave because that was for you. I probably would not have done that to the degree that I did had you not tried to take away a great moment that I had up at Lambeau and crush me for something that was, I thought, pretty minuscule. So that one was for you last night. So I hope you appreciated that.
And I hope you appreciate how beloved you are. And just as you were cheered, second loudest cheer, maybe third behind Micah Parsons, but it was Micah Parsons, Mike McCarthy, and Mark Tauscher.
And I'll tell you this, last night, I don't know if it was because, I think it was more the, this was the part I was really nervous about too. So after the first pitch debacle slash cricket, beautiful cricket pitch.
Beautiful.
However you want to frame it. I frame it my way, not going to tell you, you can't frame it your way. Then they tell me they're doing a look-alike contest. And I didn't think that was going to go well. Obviously, I'm a heavy set fella by some I am, I am. So I didn't know who they were going to put up there with the look-alike deal. They had like a Ed O'Neill and somebody else. And I'm sitting next to Max, and I'm thinking, okay, because they gave me a heads up. Hey, we're coming to pan to the camera to you, blah, blah, blah. And luckily, I don't know what the dude that they framed thought, as they put it, I wasn't mad. Like, it was good. And that part of the night, so really, everything about last night was great if it's through the eyes of a cricketer. If it's through the eyes of a baseball pitcher, the pitch sucked and that was rough. But everything else about the night was great.
So my buddy Phil Aiello was at the game, and he sent me, obviously, the video of the pitch. But then he sent me the lookalikes thing and the picture that he took anyway. It has a picture of you as the voice of the color analyst of Badger football.
Yeah.
And then the lookalike is you.
No, so there was a lookalike too. There was a lookalike, and it was.
I was a little confused. By that.
No, there was, I think, three lookalikes, and then I got Mark Antanasio was sitting next to me, so I got to talk to him for a little bit. Pat Murphy was awesome. The kids got pictures with him and talked to him for a little bit. So, again, everything about the night, but the horrific first pitch slash great cricket throw, was great. So thank you to the Milwaukee Brewers. Thank you to UW Credit Union. And I am officially – I think what I'm going to do as kind of a punishment for myself for the poor throw, I will talk cricket if you guys put that on the show sheet. I am taking a one-week break from the Milwaukee Brewers baseball because I think that's probably punishment for
what?
Me. For me.
They're going to clinch the division first-round bye.
If it happens in the week, I will excuse myself. And then I will come back.
So if Brian Anderson joins us at some point here in the next week.
He was killing me. I'm getting all kinds of texts. BA was killing me. Was he on the broadcast last night or whoever was on the broadcast?
Levering was doing it with Gardo last
night. Oh, Levo.
Yeah, your guy.
Levo got after me. That was Levo then.
Wait, so you're initiating this? Well, as a self-fan, or did the Brewers say, hey, thank you for your efforts. Can you take a week off of talking
why don't
about
you take
us, please?
Take 2 weeks off and quit is the genesis of it. I'll leave it up to you guys. I felt like after last night with my baseball acumen that I probably should take a beat. But if you guys, I'll leave it up to the democracy of Wilde and Tausch.
Well, there's no, you don't want to leave your windows up to some half. You know what, an organization. You want to make sure you get the best in the business, just like the best cricket pitch you've ever seen at a baseball game.
Mm-hmm.
And that means Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin.
And when a customer chooses Pella, one of the most important things to them is honoring that trust and commitment. A lot of customers might have apprehensions about inviting someone out to their home, someone out to the pitcher's mound. But when you see the experience and professionals, not from me, but from Pella, you can trust them with bringing your project to life. Their vision is to be the company that people want to do business with. Order by the end of the month. Get 0% interest for up to 5 years. Visit PellaWI.com today to learn more. Look at that. Right into the wicket. Huh?
It was a sticky wicket, yes. We're going to talk to Brian Bulaga at some point.
What are the odds? Let me ask you guys this. What are the odds if you both throw from the mound at 60 feet, 6 inches, you throw a strike? Like, what do you think the odds are people do that? Because Matt Hamilton threw a really good pitch. Jesse showed me the video yesterday. He did great.
Yeah.
Most are short. Most will short hop, and
most
it's a ball.
Most are going to short hop. Yeah.
So how would you guys do if you did that?
I think I'd be all right.
Okay. Well, you thought you could play second base for the Mallards.
I still think I could play second base for one inning for
Jason,
the Mallards.
Jason, you think you'd be fine?
I don't know if I would throw a strike. I think I would get it to the plate.
Okay.
But I don't, Gardo made a nice pitch, but
he did.
Would the home plate umpire, Robo ump, have called it a strike?
No, it would have been a ball, but it was a good pitch.
Right. So, you know, I would probably,
good news. I was able to secure, and you will be able to throw out a first pitch next year. So that's
at a Brewers game. Yeah, people don't even know who I am.
You know how they introduced me yesterday.
No, I don't.
So they went through Packer, Badger, but then it is host of the. I don't know if they said popular or wildly pop or wildly popular.
Oh,
they said Wildy and Tausch.
Did they really?
Wildy and Tausch radio
as
show.
As I'm walking out to the mound.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Which was cool until I. Yeah, through that cricket.
No, it's still cool.
Yeah, no, I thought it was awesome.
Noticeably, our numbers are down today. That's interesting.
Hey, funny how that works.
The numbers spiked.
We got to get ready for Brian Bulaga. It's Wildy and Tausch.
This is Wildy and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Call Gina Della from Pella today, 855-PELLA-WI, and online at PellaWI.com/radio.
To get ready for Brian Bulaga, but I mentioned both Gardo and Brad Fisher saying I can't let you slide as part of their text, but I want to read Brad's full one in defense of my guy Tausch.
Okay.
Oh man, you can't let Tausch slide on that first pitch. He was a hell of a baseball player.
I was a good player. I wasn't a pitcher, though.
I wanted to ask you because I heard Canty and Michelle and Evan getting after you a little bit. But Canty paid you a compliment as well about what a good athlete you have been.
I was.
And not just as an NFL player, but I think – and Evan chimed in on it as well.
Were you aware this was getting national discussion this morning?
I just know Evco was on this from the jump and sending all kinds of stuff.
Oh, yeah.
And he was doing the – I'm not going to say, but I'm going to – and then he kept texting, like, watch ESPN you and do this. And I said, no, I'm taking a page out of Wildy's book today. I'm watching Good Morning America.
Good lines.
I don't need – I'm good. I got Stepanopoulos. Now, if it's on Stepanopoulos, then I know
– then you're
then I think I'm going to call in sick if that was it.
Well, quite frankly, they are part of the Disney family together, so I'm glad to see it didn't make it all the way up to GMA. But what I wanted to bring up before we get to Brian was this. So we know – anybody who's listened to this show has heard this story multiple times, you know, about how you and the Auburndale Apaches go to the high school, the WIAA State High School Basketball Tournament, and the Badgers coaches see you playing basketball, and they see your feet, and you, not your, like, gross, gnarly feet that you have, but your footwork,
yep.
And you become a walk-on at the University of Wisconsin. It's the start of your, it's the origin story of your incredible journey to playing 11 years of the NFL. You played baseball. What kind of player were you? Because I do think, in fairness, the NFL took a toll on that body of yours.
It has. And especially, like, and I've told you guys, like, the last 6-7 months, it's not been great. But baseball, I was a good baseball player, but I was never like a great pitcher. I pitched, but that's because we, you know, were a very small school. If I was at a Sun Prairie or a Wanakee or one of these programs, I would not have ever pitched. I was a really good hitter. And I would make an argument that you could say, so my experiences at AmFam Field have been really good. Obviously last night the pitch/cricket, depending on how you look at it. How many people have spiked a first pitch and hit 3 or 4 home runs?
Yeah.
At that field? How many people?
Brooks Kieschnick.
Maybe Kishnick. Maybe Kishnick.
You, you and Shohei.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe. So,
Madison,
listen,
Bumgarner.
Man, I am fine. Throw all the stuff you want at me. I'm going to look at it from my perspective. You guys can look at it from yours. Both can be right. But it's now the question is, you know, moving forward, what do we do? And I think it's going to be we live with the good and we live with the bad.
Well, it sounds to me like you should take a page not only out of my book and watch GMA, but you should also take a page out of Jaden Reed's book and replace your knee and your shoulder at the same time before you throw your next pitch.
Maybe.
I don't know what the line is on that at Hard Rock Casino Rockford, but I know I'm taking the more or over.
Indeed, and it's the Hard Rock Casino Rockford features over 175,000 square feet of gaming and entertainment space, more than 1,300 slots, 50 live table games, a sports book, and a rock shop. The Hard Rock Live Entertainment Venue, 23,000 square feet of premium concert and event space. Jesse, what did you go down there? Did you watch something?
Saturday night we were down there just for fun. Just for fun.
Was there no show? But
There was a show going on.
A big fight? They probably had the big fight up in the sports.
Big fight was on the big screen. Yeah, Legends of Rock, I think, was a show going on. It was like a tribute band to a bunch of the 80s rock bands.
And we're going to try to get Dolly Parton down there. I don't know if we will, but that's another one. They can get all the way up to 2,000 guests. Hard Rock Casino Rockford, a premier entertainment destination just off I-90 in Rockford, Illinois.
Brian Balaga joins us next. It's Wilde and Tausch.
Wilde and Tausch on 100.5 ESPN is brought to you by Everlight Solar. Save money, save the planet. Everlight Solar.
I've got some famous friends you probably never heard of, but back in Rutherford County, our crowd is second to none. You might not city we're in, but when I go back home, I've got some famous friends. Yeah, I do.
You know what that music means? And I have been looking forward to this conversation since watching the Packers choose to go with Anthony Belton over Darian Kennard at right tackle. Yes, I'm a little bit of an offensive line nerd because I get to spend a lot of time with two of the best to ever do it in a Packers uniform. Joining us now is Brian Balaga. Brian, good morning. How are you?
Good. How are you guys doing?
Well, I feel compelled to ask, and then we'll move forward. Have you ever thrown out a ceremonial first pitch, given all your incredible success? I know you've been awarded the America Needs Farmers Award at Iowa. You're a very highly decorated, highly successful NFL player. Have you ever thrown out a first pitch?
Yeah, I've thrown one out at U.S. Cellular, White Sox Stadium, and I threw one out at Miller Park as well after the Super Bowl.
And did you throw a cricket pitch in either of those situations?
I did not. I threw a strike.
You threw two strikes?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I'd like to see the video. Pull that up.
What a good friend he is. Like, he so did not want to say that he did that.
He was hesitant. I'd like to see it. I believe Brian threw strikes, but
yeah.
How would you do now?
Trust but verify.
Right now?
Yeah. No problem.
They would probably not be strikes. Okay. They would not be strikes. No,
would it be
right
closer
now
than that was?
Listen, I cannot confirm nor deny it would be closer than that one. I can't say it would be closer.
It's always easy from. I'm going to say this, Blue. Everything's easier from the cheap seats, man. This media stuff. Everything's easier from the cheap seats.
I totally get it. I totally understand. Listen, when I threw out those first pitches, I was a young man.
Fresh.
You know, there's no doubt about it. I was a young man. I mean, when I threw out the White Sox one, I had not even begun playing golf at that point. That was when I went to Miller Park as well, and that's when I hit the 14 home runs at Miller Park.
Well, 14.
Wait, you had 14 home runs?
Now you've stung him. I just want you to know.
Listen, man, Balaga's a first-round pick. He's a much better athlete than I am. I've never once said anything different. 14's, yeah, but 14's a lot of 14's a lot of home runs.
I had two trips.
I had two trips, and I think I got to 4 or 5 in both trips.
Yeah.
You using an aluminum bat or are you using wood?
I use wood.
All right. Maybe I'm gonna take myself out of this episode.
Brian, it's been great having you. We'll talk to you next.
He's thrown two seeds and he's hit 14 home runs in one appearance. I threw a great cricket pitch and hit 5 in 2 appearances. Brian, will you take over when we do Brewers talk? Can we just call you and you jump in? I'm gonna take a beat.
Listen, I played a lot of baseball. I know you played baseball too. I loved baseball growing up. I mean, probably to the point where, like, it was – I mean, I loved playing it. Like, my dad loved baseball more than he loved football. Like, to be dead honest with you, he enjoyed it way more than football. It was something he enjoyed way more. So that's what I was into when I was growing up. So before I even picked up a golf club, obviously before I got to the NFL, like a baseball swing was the most natural thing, right? Like there was no bad habits of a golf swing and a baseball swing. So when I went to Miller Park, that's the only thing I knew was a baseball swing. So it was so natural swinging a baseball bat. Now, I don't think I can hit a wiffle ball because all it is a golf swing. Like it's embarrassing.
Well, just pitch
really.
It low. You get one of those cricket pitches, you'll rip that thing right out of the park. Maybe cricket might be the game because that's more golf swing. I've been working hard at cricket. Maybe we'll get this thing going. We'll get this cricket thing
going. Tosh has gone from top flight tennis player and baseball player to a pickleball player and a cricket player now.
Yeah, getting old is rough, man.
All right, Brian. We do want to get your insights from what we saw on the offensive line.
Can I jump? We'll get offensive line in a minute, but the Jaden Reed – we've unfortunately both. I've had shoulder surgery, a couple of reconstructed knees. Do you remember? Because I know Sarah will always say that I maybe was at my sweetest when I was loaded up on morphine post-op. Mm. And I don't know what Jaden Reed is on when he is on this. Jesse, do you have that audio?
No.
Okay. Well, he doesn't have the audio. But when he does... Jaden Reed sounds like he is just waking up from that surgery. Do you have any of those, like, where you just are coming back from, one of your surgeries with the morphine or whatever you were on?
Oh, yeah. I mean, he had the double, right? He had two.
I was told that he didn't have a Jones injury is what I was told.
Yeah, some people.
Oh.
No,
oh,
he did.
Okay. He did, but Jason reported it, and then people got mad at Jason. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well. So, Brian, I'm curious. So, I talked about this with Alex Strofe, and Tausch and I were on the same page there because that's where I wanted to go before the offensive line. What I didn't get, and I was thinking about America's Funniest Home Videos, frankly. Like, that's the kind of stuff that people do, right? You see, if you ever watch Alfonso Ribeiro, they're coming back from having their wisdom teeth pulled, and they think it's funny to record them. You would have never, like, Sarah and Abby would not have done that to you, right? Like, and it was live. Like, you didn't have editorial control. And my favorite part is that then he starts to swear, and whoever's idea was to take him live, it kind of ends the session then. All right, that's enough.
What if he had gotten into, like, I can't believe they drafted a wideout in the first round.
That's exactly what I was thinking. We didn't need Golden, man. I'm good enough. I can do it.
The truth serum is the ultimate truth serum. It's just the truth serum. Oh, I mean, when you come out of surgery and you have the ultimate gas in you, man, like anything could come out. It could be anything. You could say anything. And it's I'm actually shocked that I would imagine maybe a significant other was with him and they put him on live and interesting decision.
Yeah, hey.
Interesting decision.
Hey,
it's a new league. It's a new league, as we all say. It's a new league.
It is. Yeah, and hey, you can do whatever you want, and Lord knows things go viral quickly. I am curious from a purely football perspective. I mean, look, the catch he makes on the play he gets hurt on,
is ridiculous. It's a phenomenal throw by Love, and it's a phenomenal catch. Unfortunately, it doesn't count because of a Anthony Belton holding penalty, and we'll get to him during tackle talk coming up. But how do you look at where their offense is? Because what I said was that they're basically now missing two guys that are unique in their skill sets because they don't have Watson, who's on PUP. And I think Reed does a bunch of different things. And I'm not saying that Matthew Golden can't pick up the slack or Dontavian Wicks can't pick it up, but it packaged into one guy, he does pretty much everything. Like they can have Savion Williams take some of it, and they can have Wicks take some of it, and they can have Golden take some of it, but he's a guy that does all those things. So not having him, how does that affect this offense for the next couple of months?
Yeah, I mean, I think it does, because he's kind of like a Swiss Army knife a little bit, right? Like, I mean, he does a little bit of everything. And this season so far, I get it's a small sample size, right? It's two games. But he's done a lot of things really well so far, right? I mean, and he's been dealing with the injury, right, with the foot injury. And he's kind of been showing a lot of toughness and kind of showing kind of what LaFleur's been wanting from this team. What people have kind of been questioning about this football team, toughness and things like that, he's been pushing through that, right? This foot injury, and he's been kind of dealing with that, and he's been performing well, and he's been playing well. And now you remove him from the equation, and I get they have weapons, right? And now they have Golden, but you remove that piece from the puzzle, and now you got to try to fill in a guy that can do all these different little gadget things, and a guy that can you know run the deep route, and he can run the intermediate route, and he's good in motion, and you can give him jet sweeps and all these different things. And eventually, right, like I get you have Savion Williams and Golden and things like that, but do you want to continue to overload rookies with all these responsibilities? And that's the question, right? Like I don't know if LaFleur is going to – well, he may not have an option, but he doesn't want to do that at this point because he hasn't done that at this point, right? Like, I mean, if that was something that he wanted to do, he would have done that already, and he hasn't done that. Now he's going to have to because this is going to become a numbers game as we start to see the season roll on, right? Injuries and things pop up. We don't know when Watson's going to come back. They give him a new contract. It gives them a little time to, you know, make sure that knee is ready, right? It gives them a little bit more of time to make sure that knee's fully ready. So I'm not saying that the offense can't survive. It'll survive. It's just there's going to have to be a little more creativity in how they, you know, work these guys into positions and get them, you know, into certain scenarios that benefits each guy's skill set. And I get it, easier said than done. But I think Matt, as a, you know, creative offensive mind, can do it. It's just when you remove a guy like that, right, like Reed, it makes things difficult for because guys have to pick up the slack, right? I mean, and we've seen in the past, like last year when weren't performing at a high level, right, someone was performing good, and then the level would drop, no one was picking up the slack, right? Like, and that was the issue last year that I thought kind of hurt the receiving group, right? Like, a guy was performing well, all of a sudden his level dropped, and no one was there to pick that slack up. So, like, that's the only thing that concerns me
this
a little bit.
This is Wilding and Tausch.
Uh-oh, Jesse, what is going on there?
We're good.
I'm just adding a little music.
Weird things going on here, sorry.
Oh, man. But that's the only thing. But I think they can do it. It's just now you got to obviously keep that room healthy as possible. And again, that's sometimes out of your control. But that's the only thing I would say.
So
no audio. Oh, there you go.
Oh, there you are.
So apparently Jesse would like us to go to break.
Well,
is that what we're doing?
No. I don't know what's going on here with this computer. We got some weird going on.
Is it like you're playing, then I can't be heard? Let's fix that. And then we can go an extended period with Brian after we get everything repaired.
Good idea.
More with Brian Belaga. It's Wilty and Tausch.
and Tausch, brought to you by Grassland Butter. Grassland Dairy is Wisconsin. Learn more at grasslandbutter.com.
I've got some famous friends you probably never heard of, but back in Rutherford County, our crowd is second to none. You might not know them here in this big city we're in, but when I go back home, I've got some famous friends. Yeah, I do.
Jesse, do I need to be nervous about there being ghosts in the machine for the second part of our Brian Bulaga time?
Probably, but I think we're okay now.
Okay. I know you're on top of it. We've got, well, not our best people on it, but we've got you on it. All right, Brian, let's talk some offensive line on Tackle Talk. I don't know about you, but I thought because of the nature of the week, right, short week, no actual practices, that because they went to Darian Kennard when Zach Tom went out against the Lions, that they would start Kennard. I thought maybe there was a chance they would rotate Belton in, but he didn't have any practices to get ready during the week. They just did walkthroughs. And instead, Belton starts, they rotate for two series each, and then the rest of the way it's all Belton. What did you think of the decision? What do you think it means moving forward? And what did you think about how the rookie second-round pick played?
Yeah, I mean, I was shocked when I saw the official lineup, right? Like the when they rolled out there. I thought Kennard would get the start, like I think everyone else did, based on how the substitutions went in the Lions game. Listen, I thought Belton played fine overall, right? I think he did a nice job for the most part overall. I get the holding call on the touchdown that Reed unfortunately got hurt on. That was just a lack of getting out of position on the pass off on the twist and kind of getting a little bit sloppy with his feet, getting his, you know, waist over his toes and kind of lean a little bit, not sliding his feet and leaning a little bit and grabbing and getting the holding call. So, I mean, that's really all that was. And it looks like he cleaned that up as the game went on. He got a lot better, right? It looked like as the game went on and pass pro reps, kept his upper body out because he is a big guy. Like, he is a very mm-hmm. big guy. And got what it looks like during the draft process people clamor over, right? Long arms and things like that. It looks like he used that very effectively as the game went on, right? He kept his upper body out of a lot of things, and he used a quick punch quite effectively in the second half, and he kept guys off him, got his hands on people quick, and he did a good job, right? And I think after that first half, or after those first couple series, he settled in, and I thought he played well. So I would say going forward, he earned a lot of trust throughout that game. What that means this week, it's a different guy that he's going to see. I don't think Washington necessarily had anyone from a pass rushing standpoint. I get Von Miller's there, but Von Miller's not the same Von Miller that you would have seen 5-6 years ago. Right. I mean, Von Miller is not the Von Miller that, say, I would have seen in Denver. We'll just put it that way. It's not the same Von Miller. Who he will see this week in Cleveland is
right.
A real pass rusher. That is Myles Garrett. That is a guy that you have to be very concerned about. And that is a true test. And how you block him, that's not just an Anthony Belton problem. That is a Green Bay Packer problem, right? Like that, like you get that. That's Belton's going to have to work because he's going to. I highly doubt Myles Garrett's going to move around a bunch, right? He's going to plant himself over Anthony Belton probably majority of the game.
Blue, won't that allow them to slide and, you know, the old 2-3 jet pep and some of the stuff that we would do?
Yeah.
I would think if I'm. Just like if I'm Jeff Hafley, I'm not going to just line up Micah Parsons and say, beat this guy. I want him bouncing around. You think Myles Garrett, they're just going to say, if Zach Tom's not playing, we got a young guy, we call him Fish, You think that's just going to be the case? And if they want to slide protections that allows everybody else, you know where it's coming, you think that's how they would approach that?
Well, if you see how Cleveland does a lot of things with Myles Garrett, he does a bunch of twists and stunts where he will loop all the way back around to the center. Like, you watch what he did against Cincinnati a bunch. There are a bunch of clips of how they got after Joe Burrow. He was doing twists and looping all the way back around to the center and getting home. So, like, they're sliding to him, but he is wrapping all the way back around to the opposite A-gap and getting home. So, like, yeah, you can slide out to him, but then he's beating everyone back around to the inside, and the center is sliding all the way out there trying to pick up the three-tech. And by the time the center gets to the three-tech, he's not even seeing Myles Garrett wrap back around. And then, obviously, the guard on the opposite side is man-on blocking,
mm-hmm.
and Myles Garrett's coming scot-free through the A-gap.
Blue, what did you like best when you knew they were going to give help, whether it was sliding or what, as a tackle, when you were going against one of the big dogs? What did you like for help? To me, I always liked just having a tight end in tight to slow that first step down was kind of what I always liked. And if it was a nudge or a bump, I thought sometimes a chip from a running back actually hurt us. Because you're setting, and sometimes the back will get tangled in your feet or something. What did you like, and what would, if you were going against Myles Garrett, who's still an absolute stud, what help if, of course you'd lock everybody up, but if you didn't, how would you want that help to come?
I would like it just the exact same way you said, because at some points when you say, like, do you want the slide to you, you can't count on the guard being there. Like, right, like, when, oh, you're going to get the slide to you, that doesn't mean the guard's going to be there, because if the three-tech rushes wide, the guard can't come out to you. Like, it just can't happen, because the center then has to almost sprint out to you. But if they bring a pressure, because most likely if you get the slide out to you, that means the center has to ID to the backer out there. And if the backer shows any threat of even triggering, the center has to hold. So that means the guard is locked on the three tech, and you're not even getting
it. And that's why Mike Zimmer, that old mug linebacker's up, it forced you to declare and set, and then they'd bail out, but your protection is it's very hard to help when you bring those linebackers up, because you have to respect the fact that they can shoot the gap, and if you don't do that, your quarterback's going to get killed.
Yep. So I always preferred, like you said, a tight end in tight. He doesn't even have to sometimes even hit the D end, right? It's just to release the tight end, or the defensive end has to take that half second stutter step to get around the tight end, readjust his path to get into his rush. That allows you then as a tackle to take your set and read what he's going to do, right? It allows you to get that extra half second to process what that defensive end is going to do. If it's going to be a stunt or a twist, you see it right away. You can tell if he's going to essentially, because the rusher has to tell you if that half second, is he going, if he's going straight into power, is he going, okay, I got to go into speed. You can see that almost right away. And that's what that does. It doesn't even have to be a chip or a thump from the tight end. It could just be from alignment. I don't like when the running back does it, because you don't know where that running back is. You just don't. And most of the time, the defensive end sees the running back. So he can just spin on a dime, and you don't even know it, right? Like, you the running back could be – you can feel like you have that defensive end in perfect shape. He sees that running back. He just spins on a dime, and you're not even expecting it, and bang, like, you're beat. And you're
or you
like,
get chipped off your block. Like, if a running back is really good at chipping, they'll chip you off. So I'm with you on that. There's no doubt, and I'm sure there's going to be everything in the playbook to block Myles Garrett and help out whoever is going to end up playing. What did you think of the rest of the crew? What did you think of Jordan Morgan's game? And where do you see – because I think right now the run game isn't where the Green Bay Packers want it. What did you kind of see when you watched the film?
Yeah, I mean, it's still – I mean, I think – what was Jacobs at? 3.7. I mean, these two games, he was at 3.6 and then 3.7 if I looked at the stats correctly the other day. I mean, obviously way below where they need to be, right? Like, I mean, we look at this at this offense. And I think everyone would say, if we want this offense, I mean, listen, they're scoring points. We know that, which is great, right? I mean, the pass game is very productive. But I think where this offense would like to be is Jacobs averaging around 4.2, 4.3 a game, right? And being in that 100 to 120 yard, you know, category. And they're quite a bit away from that right now, right? And there's a couple reasons for that. I think right now, part of that, I mean, there's, I don't want to like heap it all on changes, right? Like changes from, you know, guys getting hurt and things like that, because we saw week one, they had their starters in there for majority, obviously most of the game, right? And Detroit did a great job in the first half. What they did was load the box and they took a lot of things away from Green Bay, and Detroit did a great job. The second half, we saw more production out of the run game because Green Bay, they made some changes in the run game and it became more effective and more productive. This week, I think some, obviously with the changes made in the lineup, not that Jordan Morgan is like, I kind of consider Jordan Morgan a starter at this point, right? Like I that's how I look at him as a player, because he's gotten so many reps with the ones and in camp and then in preseason and how he's been moved around that I consider him a starter. Maybe not at left guard as his like ultimate position, but that's what he is. That's how I look at him. I just think that they're not, from a double team standpoint, climbing to linebackers and getting to second level and securing second level blocks as effectively as they were last year up to this point. Last year, they were getting Jacobs better looks to the second level than what they have up, at least up to in two games right now, right? So if I look at what's going on right now, like first level looks fine right now. Like they're securing first level. Too many line, like the linebackers are too free at this point, right? Like they're not climbing to secure second level, and linebackers are too free getting free looks at Jacobs. And he's obviously, we all know, if like Bobby Wagner is sitting there in the hole free, Jacobs isn't going to go too far, right? Like that's why you're going to average 3.7 yards or 3.6. I mean, you're just not going to go anywhere if you're getting contacted at two and a half yards. You're just not going anywhere. So to me, that's where I see the biggest issue is it's securing the second level on these double teams. And they've been trying different things, right? I've seen a lot of pulling. There's been a lot of like pulling of these offensive linemen, which to me is way different of schemes that I've seen from LaFleur, right? Like, I mean, by all means, like we were not a pulling type offensive line like that. I mean, we didn't have any bodies that were pullers. Like we just weren't. Like we were not that type of group. These are bigger guys, right? Like they're bigger. Like you look at the Beltons and, you know, guys like they're massive human beings, and Banks and these, like they're going to pull them because they're huge. And that's the type, maybe that's the type of scheme they're looking to get more into. And if that's what they're looking to get into, you may see more of that, like, you know, 3 yards in a cloud of dust type scheme. But that's not, I mean, that's maybe something that my eyes have to get adjusted to as this season goes on, right? Like maybe that's what I have to get used to seeing on tape, that they're looking to get into more, because you're seeing a lot of like a guard pull and a tackle pull, and they're leading up into a hole, which, like, I'm going to be dead honest with you. Yeah, that was in the playbook. I remember my rookie year, like, I would always be like, you guys better not call that when I'm in there, because I am not pulling. Like, I do not want to do that. I remember, like, we would do that in jog through, and I would look at Steno. I'd go, you guys better not call that when I'm in there, because I am not pulling. I do not want to do that. Like, and he would just, like, laugh at me. I'm like, no, dude, like, I'm serious. Like, that sounds terrible. Like, there's just certain guys that, like, it fits them really well. And some guys, like me, like, just not a good idea. Like, I'm just being real. Like, I could single pull, like, myself to the outside of the right, but, like, pulling across the ball, like, oof, maybe when I was young, maybe when I was a rookie, that'd be a good idea. But they did do that when I was a rookie. They, when it was a pull play, they would switch me and Cliff, like, obvious sign that a pull was coming. like, hey, you and Cliff are switching positions in the middle of a game. I wonder what's happening.
Oh.
But yeah, go look at the Philly playoff game. Just and look at what's going to happen.
Big Clippy didn't want to pull either, huh?
Yeah. Hey, I wonder what's happening. The right tackle or left tackle switched. but they're doing different schemes, and maybe that's taking some adjustment with how I guess you would look at maybe Sean Ryan, who's been in the scheme that he's been in for a while, to get adjusted to it. Elton as well, as the center, getting adjusted to it. Rashid Walker also has been in that scheme for a while, that how they've been doing it, getting adjusted to things. There's a lot of moving parts when you do things differently, right? And mm-hmm. I'm not making excuses for anybody. I don't want to make, because like they're still doing zone and they're still doing things, but there are moving parts with what they're doing. And I just think that if they're going to be more, if they need to be more effective, they have to get to the second level better. And that's where I see the biggest glaring negative for them right now. Because it was obvious to me in the Detroit game, like they were cutting guys loose big time in Detroit game. Linebackers were getting downhill and getting through gaps and double teams pretty clean. And then it was kind of, they weren't as clean in Washington, but still they weren't climbing and getting the movement up to the second level as we saw last year. So like, that's something they need to do a lot more effectively if we want those numbers to climb like we saw last year. And like with the schemes with Jacobs, if you want duo and things like that and that type of blocking scheme and zone, and you want to be able to create huge running lanes, that is what you need. You need to be able to climb to the second level and cut gaps off, right? You need to be able to get to linebackers and literally create lanes and cut linebackers out of lanes, because that's where you see Jacobs, you know, take three steps and go vertical, and there's just wide open like lanes for him to just run straight through. And if guys aren't climbing and they're hanging on double teams too long, the linebackers are just able to scrape and fill, and Jacobs gets to maybe to the butt of the D tackle, and the linebacker's there, and it's
right.
And it's dead.
I would love to see what he can do when he doesn't have so many of his yards after contact. That is just, mm-hmm. it just feels like, and I understand he likes contact, but it does seem excessive. He did it last year. It'll be nice to see them open up some holes. All right, Brian, we got to let you go. I will talk to you tomorrow on the Homer Hour, and then on Sunday on Green Bay yep. Game Day pregame. So a lot of Brian Bulaga still ahead for us, and maybe some more home runs. Maybe they'll take you down to Comiskey Park, see if you can hit home runs to go along with your strikes
Devil
on your
Rays.
Pitches back.
No, he's
day.
Down by the Devil Rays now. That's probably his closest
park. There you
park.
Go. Yeah, they're using that. Aren't they yeah. using like a spring training stadium now? You can yep. hit 25 out of there. Brian, you're the best. Yeah. We appreciate you, man. Thanks.
All right, guys. Take care.
That is Brian Bulaga. Not only the great analyst of offensive line play, but also apparently a big hitter.
The llama. Yeah.
Jesse, you've got a text before we start the 10 o'clock hour, dude?
Yeah, Kurt in the 847. Growing up, I played baseball against Bulaga, was the catcher behind the plate for a few of his home runs. They were bombs.
Yeah.
I believe
he's a big fella now.
Yeah,
He's a big fella. And if any of those bombs bonk someone on the head out in the bleachers, well, they could perhaps take some sort of legal approach to that. And, well, they're not calling Grubel offices because they handle injuries in accidents. But if you have been injured, and I hope you haven't, but if you have, there's one call to make. One call, that's all. 414-276-6666. 414-276-6666. Or go to the website, Gruber-law.com. I wonder, David goes to a lot of games. I wonder if he was there last night for Greg Gard's first pitch. Again, Gruberloff says one call. That's all. More Wildy and Tausch straight ahead. Stick around.
Don't go anywhere. Another hour of Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin, is coming up next on ESPN Wisconsin and the ESPN Wisconsin app.